We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Do you want to make us smarter, Lesky? This show's been really stupid today. We could really use like a smart adult.
Well, then you've come to the wrong place, but I'll do my best.
On Sports Radio 810. WHB.
Well, that could have gone better. Being the Royals game that ended just a little while ago.
Well, I thought you were talking about how you looked like you almost choked on a nut.
On an almond. It was an almond and an M&M. I wasn't choking. I just had some water afterwards. I've got a little thing of trail mix. It's
good ASMR sounds.
It's got almonds, peanuts, some Kansas City Chiefs branded M&Ms that I got as a gift.
Ooh.
And some raisins. I like raisins. Do you guys like raisins? There's no way Beards like raisins.
It's a fruit.
Beards, if you like raisins, I will eat my own toe off. I don't know.
No, I don't. Your toe's safe.
Okay.
Yeah. We've talked about it. I know, because that's one thing. I know. We are both big raisin stands. I love raisins.
Carrot raisin salad, good. Yeah. Raisins in a trail mix, good. Raisins on their own, pretty good.
I love raisins.
I'd love it if Brad Keller would stop raising his ERA. Yeah, that'll do. That's good enough. David Lesky joins us now. Lesky, do you like raisins?
I'm about to hang up. But yeah,
oh!
It's funny. I loved raisins when I was little. Then I hated them. And now they're really good again. And honestly, it's trail mix that got me back into raisins. So I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Trail mix is super underrated. I think you need a little bit of chocolate. Like you don't try to just say, yeah, I'm just going to eat handfuls of almonds and raisins, because I think eventually it gets a little dry.
Yeah.
The little pop of a little M&M, a little chocolate chip or whatever, a little Reese's piece. Woo!
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Delicious.
Now I'm hungry, so thank you for that.
Yeah, well, I'm starving, and the only thing I've had is a granola bar and some of this trail mix over the course of the last like 9 hours, and I'm starting to really question how I let it get this far, because I've seen pictures of food on the TV screens in here and then also on Twitter, and I'm just getting sort of progressively grumpier. Like, there is a commercial
are you hangry?
I'm nearing hangry.
Okay.
I think last break, whenever Rudy and I ganged up on Beards for his need of time to do his job, which is a pretty reasonable request, I think. Mm-hmm. I think that was me bordering on a hangry.
That's all right. You know what? You deserve it. If you haven't eaten much, then you deserve to get hangry. I mean, I get hangry every night, so it's fine.
Listen,
and, you know, this is who I am.
I'm a little hangry. Brad Keller keeps hanging fastballs. I could do this all night. I could do this all night. I might.
I get wangry. Work angry.
That could have been something else.
When I'm forced to work, I just get a little mad.
Yeah, Rudy's really walked into a couple of things this segment that I don't know.
I stand by what I said.
Yeah, I know you do. You're no coward.
No, I'm not.
You can read Lesky's work at insidethecrown.substack.com. If you give one solitary flying bleep about the Royals, you'll go do this, because it's as good as any Royals analysis you're going to get anywhere. It's also like a good read. You're not going to have to. You don't feel like you're pulling teeth to learn some things. It's all excellent. Inside the Crown. It's on Substack. Inside the Crown. Substack.com. You can follow him on Twitter at DBLesky. Let's start with the thing that's right in front of us. Brad Keller's first start on opening day was a nightmare. The Royals got out of it. Tonight was not a nightmare. They also moved his second start back a game. It wasn't a nightmare, but it also wasn't good. Three runs in the first inning. You tell me what you think has happened so far, how concerned you are. It's still a relatively small sample size, but now it's more than one bad outing. It's been two in a row.
I'm pretty concerned. We talked on Thursday, and it was an exciting game, and kind of Brad Keller kind of got lost in that. But when I was able to kind of recollect the next morning and look through everything that happened the day before, one thing that I noticed, and I was on the program on Friday and mentioned this, he threw fewer sliders and his velocity was way up, which there's a number of reasons for that. Like, this is not, oh, well, he's definitely hurt. But sometimes when that happens, it's because a guy's feeling discomfort. And I thought, we'll see what he looks like on Wednesday in Cleveland. And then they pushed him back a day after he threw 51 pitches. And I was like, Oh, also, after they had been very adamant about only needing four starters until, like, the 14th. It wasn't that they were – it wasn't even that they were thought, oh, well, you know, if things go really well, we won't need a fifth starter until then. No, it was we only need four starters until whatever day. I think it's the 13th. Whatever it is, doesn't matter. They were so adamant about that. And then after a 51-pitch outing, oh, Keller needs an extra day, so we're bringing in a fifth starter. No, there's something going on there. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm putting the tinfoil hat on, but I don't think I am. There's something there. And that was concerning to me. And then he comes out today, and there's just no command. He has no idea where the ball is going. And sometimes that means a walk. And sometimes that means a hanging slider that Yermin Mercedes hits 485 feet. Now, I get it. He's like 15 for 12 this season, which is he's in on fire, insane. But I mean, come on, that's you can't do that. I mean, this is a guy. He gave up two doubles last season. He gave up three on opening day, and then another one today, and then two more home runs. Two home runs. I guess he didn't give any home runs on opening day, but it's a concerning trend. And I mean, after the game, he talked. I don't know if you heard what he said, but he was just talking about needing to get back to being on attack mode. And look, maybe he's in his head and he's not hurt. But if they announce tomorrow, Brad Keller, well, they probably wouldn't tomorrow, probably a couple of days, because they can evaluate for a couple of days before they can retro it. But if they announce in the next couple of days, Brad Keller to the 10-day IL, I'm not going to be surprised in any way, shape, or form. So it's concerning. I've never seen him look like this. He has never been this bad in back-to-back. I mean, he's never been as bad as he was last Thursday, period. But it's just, it's concerning. And twice is starting to become a trend, which is, you'd hope that it's not more. The good news for the Royals, they've got some depth. So, Keller was their opening day starter and earned it, obviously. But, I mean, it's not like they can't turn to Chris Bubich, who was really solid as a rookie, or Ervin Santana, who looked fantastic in spring training, or Jacob Junis, who looked really good yesterday. I mean, they've got some options, so that's the encouraging thing. But I hope the Keller's okay, because it doesn't seem like he is, and it would help if he was. They don't need him to be, but it would help if he was good.
I might be reciting something that you wrote back to you, but if this was yours, great. If it was somebody else's, I think it was a good observation. I think it was yours. But you mentioned the moving back a day after 51 pitch or whatever it was, opening day. It also moves him from his second outing being, against Cleveland to being against Chicago, being against the White Sox. If your goal is to get him just, like, comfortable, let him go up against that Cleveland lineup instead of going up against what he had to face tonight. And so, I think Occam's razor would probably indicate that there's something going on there. And frankly, at this point, I guess you might almost hope that there's something physically. Because if not, it's more difficult to explain, I'd guess.
Yeah, you're right. It's weird, because when guys struggle and it comes out they're hurt, you go, oh, thank God, okay.
Yeah, woo! Right.
It's like, wait, hang on, you don't want him to be hurt. But, yeah, if he's not hurt, then, the good thing they didn't sign him long-term, I guess.
Yeah.
But, it's weird. Now, I will say, he looked better after the first inning. I wouldn't say good, but he looked better. I actually noticed what concerns me a little bit, and maybe he was just overthrowing his changeup, but I saw a couple 90s on the fastball. So I really want to see how those are classified tomorrow over on Baseball Savant, just to see if maybe he overthrew the changeup. But when you add in the increased velocity from the first start, which again, they're he didn't throw enough pitches to get tired, so it could be that the velocity was going to come down if he had thrown 90 pitches. But then you have the increased velocity and then decreased velocity. It's like, there's a reason for concern. And you're right. If there's no injury, it's way more confusing. At least an injury gives you an answer. So we'll see. I think we'll probably know in the next couple of days, obviously. I mean, they can backdate an IL at the end of the 3 days. And so it would be, what's today, the 8th? So they can backdate it to the 9th up until the 12th, I guess. So we'll know by the 12th, I suppose, what's going on with Brad Keller. Them being home also gives them some more options as far as guys to call up, because they're not, I don't think they're completely limited to the taxi squad, but I think they're somewhat mostly limited to that. So, yeah, they come home Monday, they can call up anybody from the alternate site, and that helps, I guess. But yeah, we'll know, I guess we'll know soon. But I'm concerned.
Well, last thing on that, you mentioned this twice, and I could put this under the guise of saying, hey, the audience of this show's two favorite things are generally football and Pokemon, and that we're branching out for baseball season here. But also, I can ask this for myself. You mentioned his velocity being up that first start. We talked about Wade Davis's velocity being up, and go like, oh, look at this, his velocity is coming back. What is it that's concerning about the velocity being higher out of the gate for Keller before kind of fluctuating the way that it has? Because usually, increased velocity is a good thing.
Yeah, and if he had thrown his slider more, and again, maybe he was going to get to it the second time through the order, and he didn't get a chance to. So there are a lot of ways to explain that he didn't, the two things that I'm worried about. But a lot of times when you pair those two things, they throw the slider less because their elbow hurts. It's barking, so they don't want to throw it because that pitch can hurt to throw. Mm-hmm. And then what ends up happening is it's almost like they're trying to prove to themselves, I'm healthy, and they throw as hard as possible. Well, that adds a couple miles per hour. You see it a lot. You see it a lot with guys who end up with elbow injuries. That's not the only possible solution from increased velocity and decreased slider usage, but it's one thing that you do tend to see a fair amount with guys who end up getting hurt. And so that it just kind of, I guess, raised the antenna a little bit for me just to watch it. And then you hope, okay, like I said, you look for the Wednesday start. Okay, let's see how he looks on Wednesday. And then they push him back. And then not only do they push him back, but then he looks horrible to start the game today too. And it's just, it's one thing after another. And like, it really is. It's the Occam's razor thing. It's hard to see this any other way. We'll find out. I don't pretend to have a medical degree. I kind of pretend to, but I don't.
Right.
It's a fake degree. But we'll see. We'll find out in a couple of days.
I guess I'm sticking with the negative at the moment, but I can't help but look at, the first two games out of the gate, the Royals put up 14 and 11. And then since then, offensively, 3 in the loss to the Rangers, 3 in a win over Cleveland, 2 in a loss to Cleveland, shut out today. I know that baseball is a story of large sample sizes and smoothing out those curves and those data points. No team is what they are at their most extreme, positive or negative. But after having just the most fun possible start in the first two games out of the gate, at least offensively, do you make anything of these four games since then being largely devoid of fireworks, I suppose?
Not really, because I think that they've faced some good pitching, and the Rangers don't really have a lot of good pitching. And they were Sunday. It was just one of those. Sunday was a weird game against the Rangers. I feel like it just seemed like they were on the verge of doing something, and they just never did it. And they end up with three runs. But then Cleveland. Cleveland can pitch. I mean, they can always pitch. They faced Shane Bieber yesterday. he's not only was he the Cy Young winner, but like one of the most deserving Cy Young winners you will find. Logan Allen's I don't know if he's technically a rookie, but he doesn't have much experience. They can always pitch. And then Lance Lynn, he was really good today.
Yeah.
I think you look up and down this lineup, and I don't think four games of lackluster production takes away everything we've thought since the beginning of March. Mm-hmm. There are some concerns. I think Andrew Benintendi, his bat looks slow to me. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look like he's catching up with fastballs. I looked before the game today, and I think this hasn't updated much, but he's hit 15 balls, and I think 12 of them were to up the middle or the left field. Mm-hmm. Today he pulled a single, so I don't know. I think he hit two. I don't know. Regardless, he's not getting around on anything, which is a little bit concerning. But also, you may remember I wrote that I think he would struggle to start the season. So I'm not terribly surprised by it. Jorge Soler, he's a little bit streaky. He starts off a little bit slow. Even think back to 2019. He wasn't rocking it until, like, late May, maybe mid-May. I don't know. I don't remember exactly the time that he started going. But he tends to get off to a little bit of a slow start. So I don't think there's a huge worry at this point. But, you know, you looked, Saturday. I don't know if they're going to play Saturday. The weather looks horrible in Chicago. But then they get Dylan Cease on Saturday, and he's not good. So they should put out. Now, it could be that they end up playing in a steady rain, and that changes everything too. So you have to look at that. But I'm not worried just yet. I think there are some things that they might want to shake up a little bit. But I think it's a deep offense, and they've struggled. But it's only a few games. You wait until it gets to be 8 or 10 before you really start to worry. I don't see a lot of cause for concern with this offense just yet.
Let's talk about a couple of good things then. Let's talk about, you wrote about both of these things already on Inside the Crown, so people can go read a bunch of this up on there as well. Again, insidethecrown.substack.com. But Danny Duffy came out and looked great, and I would very much be on board with a revitalized Danny Duffy. I understand very well that the long-term holding up and keeping the velocity up over the course of the season has been a big storyline for Duffy for a while now, but he looked great back in that first game against Cleveland and put out 6 scoreless. So what did you see from Duffy in that game, and then how much would you be buying right now if I gave you a chance to invest in the stock of Danny Duffy?
Well, so I think he looked fantastic, and the thing that Duffy does, we don't talk about Duffy's changeup nearly enough because it's a really good changeup. And I even went back and read what I wrote. I didn't talk about it enough. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of those things that we've just kind of taken for granted because mm-hmm. Duffy has a good changeup. But it's a fantastic changeup, and it looks really, really good on Monday. What I was most encouraged by was he was able to get that velocity even in the 6th inning. Uh-huh. You look at some starts from last season and 2019, and it's the 3rd inning, and you go, wow, Duffy's cruising. He's got the first 8 hitters out.
Right.
And then, he gets into the 4th, and all of a sudden, oh, it's 92.
Yeah.
Oh, it's 91. Oh, there's an 89. Oh, there's a 3-run homer. And it's just kind of the progression of his games, and that's a big reason why I think a lot of people, myself included, thought he was going to end up in the bullpen this year.
Mm-hmm.
But he was able to get to it. He didn't hold all game. I mean, there were points in the 4th and 5th innings that he was putting out the 91. But when he needed it, he was able to get to 94 in that 6th inning, and I thought that was really impressive. I have a hard time buying Duffy's stock just because the next injury might – he's not a 30-start guy.
Yeah.
And it's, especially this season. Maybe it doesn't matter this season because – who is a 30-start guy, honestly, in 2021. So maybe this is the year that Duffy kind of falls back with everybody, or everybody else falls back to him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you look up and down his stat line in his career, he's never been bad. his rookie year, he wasn't good. But since he's figured out how to pitch,
mm-hmm.
he's always been a quality contributor to the big league team. And so, I don't know, I think that he's a guy I would probably give him time off in the bullpen throughout the season just to keep him fresh. I think anytime Duffy goes out there, I feel like the Royals are going to have a chance to win the game.
Yeah.
And he may give up 5 and 6 innings and they end up losing 5-3. But I mean, it's not, 4 and 3 and a third.
Right.
It's not 6 and 1 and a third, like Keller has done in his first 2 starts. Not to pick on Brad Keller because he was the best Royals pitcher last year, mm-hmm. but I feel like you get a chance with Duffy almost pretty much every time out, and there's something to be said for that, especially with an offense that you think can put up some runs. So I think the Royals are fine with him right now.
You've also written about the bullpen a little bit, and you wrote about this earlier in the week. So not everything that's written there will be exactly the same, obviously, but we can still talk about it because the bullpen has had some moments, and I even noted watching this game tonight, like, I was kind of in and out as we're doing the show and trying to keep an eye on it and everything. Whenever Josh Staumont shows up on my screen, my eyes catch him throwing I see the man bun and the fastball. I'm like, all right, like I'm here to watch him play baseball, please. So what have you seen from the bullpen so far altogether, and what are you willing to expect from that then?
Well, I think Zimmer's been great.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about that. Staumont has looked good in his 2 performances. Scott Barlow has been just filthy. And I think that those three are they make up the core of the bullpen, really. Jake Brent has looked really good. Mm-hmm. He struggled a little bit in his first appearance, but big league debut on opening day. You kind of give him a pass because he looked really good in the other times we've seen him out there. And, of course, everything's a tiny sample. There's a little bit of concern. Greg Holland obviously struggled. He's not great on long rest. He needs to throw a little bit more than he has. And nobody's fault. I mean, they've had a ton of off days, and, what can you do, really? It's hard to keep everybody fresh when you've got a 9-man bullpen and off days and blowout wins and stuff like that. So that'll change going forward, I think. And Jesse Hahn, he just seems a little bit off right now. But he was the Royals' best reliever last year. So I think when you're looking at a 3-3 start and the Royals' best starter and best reliever have been pretty bad, you take it, I think, because that seems like those guys can get back on track if they're healthy, of course. And, I think the bullpen is a strength of this team. If Holland doesn't rebound, that's okay. They've got other arms. If Hahn doesn't rebound, it's probably a little bit more concerning just because he was so dominant last season. But I like what they have out there, and I think, this goes to the same depth thing, but they've got other guys who can step in if need be, and even if it's the prospects. I mean, Jackson Coar is a guy who obviously the Royals see him as a starter, but if they want to bring him up and put 99 with a legitimate 80 changeup. Hmm. I mean, 80 on the scouting scale, mm-hmm. changeup. I think that does fine in the bullpen for a couple innings here and there. So they've got some possibilities. And look, Tyler Zuber, who pitched all season in the big leagues, not on the big league roster, he could come up. Richard Lovelady, he could come up. Jake Newberry, he could come up. They've got plenty of arms if it doesn't work out with if Jesse Hahn's hurt, if Greg Holland needs some time, whatever it is. They've got plenty of arms, so I think as long as you can keep three or four guys dominant, which they've got right now, I think they're going to be just fine there. The early part of a season is so weird because a lot of it's a manager trying to figure out what he can do with his pieces in the bullpen. Didn't really have that last year. If you spend a month figuring it out, you're halfway through the season. This year, it's back to normal, and so it might be, okay, look, Greg Holland doesn't have it right now, so we're going to throw Scott Barlow in the closer's role, whatever it might, whoever it is, and I think that they've got enough good arms to kind of piece that together and ultimately end up with the bullpen that I think they can be. I think back to 2014, Wade Davis, I don't know if people remember this, but he blew a game in April against Minnesota. Why do I remember it? I don't know. I do. And people wanted him out. People wanted him cut. It's early. Things happen. Mm. It's a long, long season. Sometimes relievers take longer to get their numbers back because they only throw an inning at a time. But it's a long year. I feel like people were okay with Wade Davis by the end of that season. Just a hunch there. So
I think it's fair.
I think they'll be okay. There's just some kind of it's kind of the puzzle of the bullpen right now. They're figuring out, but I think they've got enough good arms that they'll be okay. They'll be okay back there for the season.
We got a comment with a question on our Twitch stream from Chaotic Warrior. I think it's a great question. Are the Royals good or bad?
Yep.
That's what Beard said! That was Beard's answer in the chat was simply yes! Oh, I'm so mad that you and Beard had the same answer. You're a baseball expert and Beard is an idiot.
Now I feel like I fail at everybody.
Played right into Beard's hand. So upset.
It's interesting. I don't think they're good or bad, honestly. I think that they're pretty – I mean, I had them at 76 wins before the season.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know that's 10 games under 500, but it's also 5 games from 500.
Yeah.
I mean, what
– math.
Think about how many things – right. Think about how many things can go right or wrong to change things by 5 games. You don't even notice throughout the season.
Yeah.
Because it's such a long year. So there are going to be stretches – and sometimes it's going to be 2 games where they score 25 runs, and sometimes it's going to be 4 games where they score 8 runs, where they look like one of the best teams in the league, and sometimes like one of the worst teams in the league. Mm. And it's just they're not young, but they're inexperienced in a lot of ways. They get the right stretch of games. That this offense is going to put up runs, and this pitching staff is going to pitch well. And they're going to go through a 12-game stretch where they go 10-2 with a plus 35 run differential. And you're going to go, well, I don't know how anybody's going to beat this team. And then they're going to turn around and lose six of their next eight. Mm-hmm. and with a minus 28 run differential or something like that. I mean, it's just going to be that this is kind of who they are, because they're not great and they're not horrible. They're going to be up and down throughout the season. I think the depth is what's going to determine which side they're closer to, I guess.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they've already had injuries, right? They're going to have more injuries. They're going to have starting pitchers who need 2 weeks off because they only threw 52 innings last season. That's what's going to determine a lot of seasons this year. The Dodgers, the Padres, the Twins, the White Sox probably. I really hadn't been impressed with them before today. They just don't seem like the same team as last year, they're not. But the Astros maybe, I think, are pretty good. Yankees, these teams, they're fine. But it's every team in the middle. It's even from the top of the middle, like, I don't know, the Blue Jays maybe, I guess, are kind of in that range. All the way down to the bottom of the middle, which is probably Royals-ish. Mm-hmm. I mean, that it's going to be the depth that determines how much closer they are to good than bad. And it's going to be – this season is going to feel longer than most because there's going to be more roster moves than most. So I have no idea. But I will tell you that I don't think they're good or bad, and they're 3-3. So
yeah, man, there you go.
I think that they've pretty much hit right where we expect them to be at this point.
Well, I think this segment has been closer to good than bad. That's what I'll take your same metric there. I will ask you to tell people about Inside the Crown and also kind of the plans to come. You've put a little bit out there, but I hesitate to try to summarize it on behalf of you. So tell people what they can get right now at insidethecrown.substack.com, what the future plans are, whatever you want to share, whatever you think is relevant, so people will go subscribe to your dang newsletter.
Well, right now, everything is free.
Right now. Go.
It is the cheapest newsletter you will ever find, tied with a bunch of others.
Tied for first place.
We are one. I'm tied. I'm tied at the top.
Beating
of the
Seth.
Cheapest newsletters.
It's true.
Beating Seth. Or I guess you say Seth is winning. If making money is the goal.
I don't know. Making money. No. Yeah, look, I'm not about that life. Okay.
Yeah.
I get it.
Until soon, I will.
Love
be.
Of the game.
So.
bit.ly/Lesky hates money. I gotta go get it done.
Get it.
There will be a time. I don't know when. I really don't know when at this point. But there will be a time that it will not be free anymore. I will still have free articles.
Well,
so it's not, just like Seth, I'll throw out some free articles here and there. But at some point, I'm going to start charging. It'll be $5 a month, or you can pay a full year for $39. That's 35% off. That's a really good deal. You don't get many things for 35% off in life. But Inside the Crown, you will. And there might be a special when I first start charging, so keep an eye out for that. Can't promise anything. But, yeah, right now it's free. So don't even worry about the price.
Don't even sweat
it. Just subscribe. And then you'll get so hooked that you'll want to pay me double what I charge.
Well, in the year 2025, when you finally make me pay, I'm sure I'll be very mad.
I'm really excited to get angry emails about it.
All right, so if you go, just hold on. Sorry, yeah. I'm sorry,
no,
Rudy.
You go.
Real quick. So if you go to bit.ly/LeskyHatesMoney, it will take you directly to the Inside the Crown Substack. The link is working, it is functional. InsideTheCrown.substack.com.
Man of the people.
bit.ly/LeskyHatesMoney.
You're man of the people. I promise you that even though I truly do love reading these things just about every day, now I will, when I have to pay my $5 and you come on, I'll just yell for no reason. I can bring the anger.
I appreciate anger. Anger means passion. And as long as you're paying, I don't care how much you're yelling.
It's a great point. See, you know what? That's That it's a great point.
I gotta make that a URL also because that one's also very good. Hold on, this is gonna
well,
be
hey,
a whole
as
thing.
As you're doing your thing, let's get because and this is here. I can bring Irrational Anger now. I thought the Nicky Lopez piece was great, but I want to see why should Bobby Witt be called up right now pieces.
Wow.
What? Look, I'm gonna tell you why you should be called up right now, and it's to make you happy.
All I need. All
right, so right now, if you want to go to the Inside the Crown newsletter, you can go to bit.ly/LeskyHatesBobbyWitt, and it will take
Ooh,
you
I
right
love
there.
It.
And
yes.
Whenever Lesky starts calling for Bobby Witt to come up, I will change that URL, which I can do to
yes.
bit.ly/LeskyLovesBobbyWitt. But right now, bit.ly/LeskyHatesBobbyWitt.
Real fast, I do want to say, because like if you aren't on this yet, like, again, the Nicky Lopez thing today, like I'm not, Lesky's work does all the work for itself, but like he wrote essentially an article on Nicky Lopez's front foot, and I was fascinated with it. It's literally about his front foot.
Is this
and it's fascinating.
Is this because your left
well,
foot
that's
right
true.
Now
that's
has,
a good point.
Has rabies
yeah.
or tetanus or
so
something?
So I dropped a spike yesterday, Lesky, for
you,
a flag.
I would say that some equipment failed.
Actually, yes, I did not drop it. It fell through a hole in a bag, landed square on my foot, put a hole in my shoe, and put a hole in my toe.
What is your life?
I might have tetanus.
there's a shot for that, which is the good news.
I found out, yeah, the good thing is I realized, you know, it's been about 10 years since I had the tetanus shot,
right.
So I should go get the tetanus shot. So I'm going to see if I can't maybe make a concoction, you know, a little tetanus, a little COVID,
ooh,
we'll just
good.
Get it all in one. I asked my mom if she could just bring it home. She said no, so I'm a little mad that she won't commit federal crimes.
Some whiskey, you're all set.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, I dropped a spike on my foot. My mom won't commit federal crimes for me. Bobby Witt Jr. is in a minor league camp.
Hey,
it's been a bad 24 hours.
I'm going to say some words for you tonight, okay?
Thank you.
I'll let you go on this, Lesky. One more Twitch comment from Jayhawks fan says, of course the White Sox aren't the same team. Their left fielder died before the season started.
R.I.P.
Thank you, Lesky.
Oh, yes.
bit.ly/LeskyHatesBobbyWitt.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
And so I went before the show. Got my tea, and I did. I there was, you know, those single slices of pepperoni pizza. And I looked at it and thought, that piece doesn't look great. That piece doesn't look great. Oh.
Hmm.
Oh, this piece has some like melty, cheesy goodness.
Ooh.
I think I'm going to get this piece of pizza.
With Joshua Briscoe.
And I did because that is who I am. If there is a piece of pizza in front of me and I can get it for $2. And I'm slightly hungry, but also feel slightly not great. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get the pizza.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I was flipping water bottles. I got two in a row. And they've been clipped on the A10 Twitch. Absolutely incredible.
I hope you appreciate my emojis.
I did. I
it's
saw
from
them.
A
I liked
different
them
channel,
very much.
But the I was here is a very it's a good emoji.
Three in a row. Want to clip it? Beard, just tell me whenever we're back, and I'll do that. I'll start doing the radio show again.
Still got like 10 more minutes
of breaks.
Yeah.
Wow, you really were overcompensating for last hour. You're really lashing out. Thanks to David Lesky for joining us, as he's done every week now throughout baseball season. We'll continue to do for the rest of baseball season, unless something bad/wild happens. bit.ly/LeskyHatesMoney. is what you can go to. I might just start. You know what I might do? Is I might do like a sort of DirecTV thing where I pay, mm-hmm. you know, for each subscription, but I give you a little discount if you get all of them, and somehow I'm making money out of here. And now I'm just a cable company, you know, just trying to make money off of other people's work, which that's the dream, right?
Yeah, I mean, that if that's not the American dream, I don't know what is. Can we do this?
I think so.
Hey, Lesky, if you're listening, just stop listening for a second.
Hey, Seth, I know there's no chance you're listening, so
well,
you're good.
Because you got like 12 kids.
You got 75 kids and 14 jobs.
You're fine. You can throw some sense our way.
Beards,
hey,
do you
Seth,
happen to have
one of your kids subscribe to us on Twitch? Give us some money.
That's a great point.
Come on, Seth.
I feel like we might be able to make Seth
Each
seem cooler.
Each kid needs their own subscription, though.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Honestly, if each of his kids followed us on Twitch, we'd become one of the most popular channels on the platform.
We would be partners.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I think
we'd be able to buy Twitch.
It'd be like now here at the top of the platform, we've got Ninja. We've
Pokemon,
got Almost Entirely Sports.
Almost Entirely Sports.
I think this is we could just start playing Among Us during the show. Something that I want to do anyway. New map is just okay, though. We talked about this with Scott.
Yeah.
We've covered that ground. Beards, do you have the Pokemon music?
I do! Thank you for stalling so I could get that open and fix it.
I don't know why I was expecting something more climatic, because, like, I know this is the music, but I was almost just expecting, like...
It gets here.
The Pokerap. No, it's good. It's great. It's good. I don't know why. Like, this is a me thing. I don't know what I was expecting. I know this is the music. It's great. What is this one from? This is
Soul
the,
Silver.
Yes. This is the,
Champion.
Yes. Champion's Road or Path or...
It's just the Champion.
The Battle.
Yeah.
This one is a jam, though.
It is good.
It's very good.
It's also an hour long. 30 minutes long.
I have found...
Can we play this during our breaks?
So, I have found some Spotify playlist of Pokemon lo-fi music that can be played on Twitch.
Are we sure?
Yes, because I know Pokemon music.
Are we
music,
sure that it can be on
yes,
all
Pokemon music?
Platforms?
Pokemon music can because it is it was created in Japan and there's a license between Japan and Twitch that allows you to play Japanese.
We are also on Facebook and YouTube, and that makes me a little nervous. But we'll work on it.
But also, this is like remix stuff, so I think it's fine.
I think there's a chance that's true.
Unless that person comes for us. And my guess is they're not.
No, and at that point...
Because they also did say, and like, most of them say, like, in like the descriptions, like, hey, have fun.
Just in life in general.
Yeah.
The reason the Pokemon music is here is because the championship of the Poke Bracket has been set. It is two of the four number one seeds, Charizard versus Pikachu. It's like he was here in the room with us.
Real fast.
Yes.
I've been tweeted. You have also been tweeted. Okay. At Todd Bryan bought the 15 Tim Tebow.
No.
Fireflies. The Columbia Fireflies.
Oh, beautiful.
Shirt.
Oh, fantastic.
It is. Nice. Says he's disappointed, though, in the quality of the shirt.
Well.
It was used, apparently. I think it's just wrinkled. Well, he says, I didn't know it was used. It's because it's wrinkled. I don't think it's used. I just think it's wrinkled. But he says it smells like smoke. I mean, he says it's used. I don't know. Is it used? I don't know if he's... I'm confused. Maybe it's just wrinkled? I don't know. Todd, if you're listening... did it say it was used?
Wash that shirt, Todd.
But yeah, wash it.
That's very exciting.
And then find Tim Tebow. Have him sign it. And then never wear it again. But you have to wear it when he's signing it. Otherwise, what's the point?
Charizard versus Pikachu. I gotta say, guys, I feel pretty good. This is more of kind of a look back. Tomorrow at 7, we'll know the champion. And right now, Charizard is off to a hefty lead.
This is always how I thought it was gonna go.
I would have. I really did think that Squirtle was gonna be a Final Four team. But
this is my Final Two, I guess. I should say.
I
agree with you.
This is also what I would have predicted.
I was not shocked that Gyarados got in the Final Four, but my guess was that it was either gonna be Squirtle or Mew.
My friend Darren did say that he was really upset that Bulbasaur lost to Childproof Dragonite, or bleep it up. I bleeped it up to Childproof Charizard. Which is Dragonite.
Yeah.
I screwed up. I'm sorry, Darren.
Dragonite's... I mean, here's the thing. I love Bulbasaur. Dragonite's good, man. It's just like a... It's just a good... It's a good Pokemon.
Here's the thing...
like in the anime and the movies, it's good.
Here's the thing that I want to highlight. The highest seed to make it into even the second round was what I believe to be a little bit of a severely underseeded 11 seed Growlithe.
Mm-hmm.
11-seeded Abra beat Slowpoke. I hated that upset. I love Slowpoke.
Yeah. But Abra's good, but Growlithe's a good boy.
But two 11-seeds won in the first round, and I think we got a couple of 10-seeds, and that was it. A couple of 9-seeds. That was it for the first round upsets.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 5, 1, 2, 3, 5, 1, 2, 3, 5. The seeding committee here being the three of us.
Pretty good.
Then we get 3 1s and a 2 in the final four. I think we collectively did a pretty bang up job. At the very least,
especially
we're
at
counted.
The top. Especially at the top.
Yep.
Growlithe over Kangaskhan, like, it's not surprising looking back just because, like, Growlithe's a good boy.
Good boys
are gonna, you know. I really like Kangaskhan, but it, like, it's a little, you could say it's a little just, you know, a little bland is not the right word, but it's not like special. Whereas Growlithe's a fire boy.
Right.
It's a good fire boy.
It's very good.
People like good fire boys.
But I think, and you're right, most of the arguments, like, look, could Dugtrio was a 12 seed. Could Dugtrio have been completely eliminated from this tournament and replaced by Porygon? Yeah. That would, in fact, I'm looking at that.
Maybe it should have.
In fact, that probably should happen.
Nah.
But it didn't, but ultimately, the bubble teams, just much like Real March Madness, the bubble teams were really just about getting in the tournament or not.
Yeah.
The players here that were going to advance, we nailed it, I think.
Beers, have you seen the Alolan Dugtrio?
Alolan Dugtrio is very good.
Let me look.
It's great.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about,
like,
all of this.
Like, Dugtrio's good. Alolan Dugtrio is like, whoa. It's good. I don't know why they decided Alolan Dugtrio.
Hang on, let me pull that up on the video feed.
But oh boy, like, it was a great decision.
My surprises here is that we did get so far in with obviously we didn't include any of the secondary starter forms because we capped it at just two forms per evolution. Was surprised to see Bulbasaur bounce in the Sweet 16. Surprised to see Blastoise and Squirtle bounce in the Elite 8. Was surprised to see Charmander bounced. Where did Charmander go? They were bounced by Blastoise.
16,
that was
a
tough matchup for both of them there. I personally, it's very good. I'm excited to see. I want to see it's extremely good.
The Alolan forms were, they were good.
Strong.
They were good.
Absolutely, yeah. Very strong.
They did well.
So real quick here. Look at the bracket. I want you guys to tell me what your personal final four would have been. The actual final four with the bracket was Charizard, Gyarados, Mewtwo, Pikachu. Take a look over the your final four. I'm gonna have a couple of real honking upsets here.
Yeah,
but that's the fun of it.
For me, it's just Charizard, Mewtwo, Pikachu, or just the those. To me, those are just the clear three. Like those, like those are locks to me. Those are always gonna be locks to me. I think I would have either went with Squirtle or Mew for my fourth one. I think I lean towards Mew. Because, like, it's, I don't know, I like Mew. Mew's cool. It can learn every move. It's got every Pokemon's DNA in it. Like, Mew's OG.
Beards, you know what your final four would be? I think I've got mine.
Based on how the bracket is seated, it would probably be Charizard, Mewtwo, Gyarados, and then either Alakazam or Dragonite in the fourth spot. So, that'd be me.
I would have gone.
And I guess, real fast, not to bore you. I guess when I say Pikachu, I guess that's just more of my, like.
You've got respect for the icon.
It's the logo.
Yeah, I think that's fair. You have to justify it.
Yeah.
I knew
it was going to get there. Like, I knew Pikachu was going to be in the national title game.
I'm definitely taking Squirtle out of the East for me personally. And I'm taking Pikachu out of the Midwest, I think, for a lot of those similar reasons. In the South, I think I'm taking Charmander, the 2 seed, even beating Mewtwo. And out of the West, beating Charizard.
Ooh.
In the 3rd round.
Ooh.
The number 5 seed, Cinderella.
Yeah.
Psyduck is a final four Pokemon for me.
Yeah,
it's just the truth.
Nothing wrong with that.
It's just my favorite.
Nothing wrong with that. I just love
that little confused little duck.
It's great.
It's a confused little duck with
it gets headaches. And its headaches, it uses them as attacks.
It's the best!
It's great.
Psyduck, criminally underrated. There you go. Go vote if you want. It's my pinned tweet at JB Briscoe. Championship game of the Poker Bracket, Charizard versus Pikachu.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Durf, durf, durf.
On Sports Radio 810, WHB.
Beard, it seems like we're not going to have a lot of time left this segment. Nope.
Your time management. I don't want to say you're. It's Andy Reid-esque.
No. Oof. Philadelphia. Are you saying that Beards is a Philadelphia?
You're like Roy Williams retiring with like 20 timeouts. If you don't know that, Roy Williams was famous for like, you know, you might go on like a 16-0 run and he just refused to call time. I was like, hey, guy's got to learn. So people made the joke
somebody didn't run backwards with the ball out there on the mic.
Sorry for wanting to get, just have a fun, I was trying to have a fun radio segment with my friends about talking about sports and Pokemon and whatnot.
Sorry. Sorry, that
we're
was
taking
mean.
A, we're taking
it was
a,
mean.
We're taking
but
a
Beards, you're
really,
a champion.
We're taking a
you're
bad
a champion,
energy
Beards.
Of the night. We'll try to
no,
do
Beards,
better tomorrow.
You're a champion. You
7-10.
You got a Super Bowl.
We'll talk to you then. Bye, Mom!
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.